Well, we are back and we are going to take another look at the Lord's Prayer, this being the second in a four-part series on the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper. Last week we looked at the beginning of the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We did that last week. That was a lot. We did that last week and we looked at that and we broke those statements down and we took a hard look at what we're really asking when we pray those words, and we're going to continue that today. I think we discovered that there's a level of commitment and that it's a prayer that requires active participation, and that in fact is perhaps it's more than a prayer, it's a lifestyle. It's about living life as a Christian. And so this morning we're going to continue that exploration, and we're going to tackle, give us today our daily bread, and perhaps we're also, well not perhaps, but we are going to look at what is perhaps one of the most challenging statements in this prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So let's get started. When we ask God to provide us our daily bread, what exactly are we asking for? The story that we heard from Exodus, it illustrates one aspect of the concept of daily bread. God's people are upset with Moses and his brother Aaron. We can't believe we let you talk us into leaving Egypt. What were we thinking? They're in the middle of the desert, and there wasn't any food. And God heard their cries, and he said to Moses that he would provide quail in the evening and manna in the morning. And by providing for the Israelites, they would know that God was with them. Give us this day our daily bread. This is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And it sounds simple enough. And I suppose on one level it really is quite simple. But on another level, it's perhaps very challenging. When we look at this, praying this prayer, it can take some real faith because there's reliance on God. Daily bread is a common phrase in Scripture, whether it's from this passage in Exodus, we find it mentioned in Proverbs. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Proverbs 38. The spirit of daily bread has been used by 12-step groups of our own era, with the admirable philosophy of life that says, one day at a time, one step at a time. In the prayer, we are asking God to provide for our needs as God sees them. That's important. Not as we see our needs, as God sees our needs. One day at a time. But does this prayer stop at the physical need for bread? Or is there something else? Bread was and still is a staple food. It represents the basic need for food that we have. And it could also refer to our necessities in general. We've been praying about the kingdom of God and the glory of God. That's how the prayer, Lord's Prayer, starts. Yet here we are focusing on humanity and our own needs. And so is it just food we're asking for, or is there something more going on? Now clearly, whether the words of Jesus here mean food specifically or other things in addition, his words imply our needs, not our wants, our needs. And one way, I guess, of looking at this is that Jesus is talking about bread, not peanut butter and jam. And the question I would put to you is, should we be relying on God for our needs, as the ancient Israelites did. Daily used to be a given. Before the invention of refrigerators and freezers, going to the market for food was a daily event, and in some parts of the world, still is. You could only keep food for a day or two before it would go bad. But with our modern world and technology, that doesn't happen much anymore. We do weekly grocery runs. We have tended to lose the dailiness of our reliance on God. So let's take a little bit of a deeper look at those words. Give us this day our daily bread. Us and our. It's a collective request. One which regards the need not only of the self, but of the wider community. But the real focus here is on the word day, as in today. We aren't asking for tomorrow's food. We are asking for today. We have already acknowledged that there is more than just a request for food going on here. When we pray this prayer, we may consider that Jesus was encouraging us to ask for ordinary bread, but also for the bread of life, the bread of salvation. So it boils down to this, I think. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are acknowledging our complete and utter dependence on God. Well, as the saying goes, that's perhaps easier than done. Because we tend to be fiercely independent people. And we don't like to admit or that we are reliant on anything else or someone else. And a large part of the population won't even admit that they are created by a holy God. We think of ourselves as self-made people. We pull ourselves up by the socks, and our successes are the result of our own hard-won labors. But nothing could be further from the truth, because giving is God's delight. All God wants is for us to ask, and the Lord provides. So I wonder if we believe in a God like that this morning. Do we believe that God will provide for every need that we have, just as he did for the hungry, wandering Israelites? And it takes faith. I once heard a definition of faith. It went like this. Faith is taking a big frying pan and a camera with you when you go fishing. And there was a drought once, and a country pastor, he called the congregation together to pray for rain. And as he stood at the door greeting people, he remarked with disappointment how little faith the people had, because not one of them brought an umbrella. And as a society, we tend to walk more by sight than by faith. And our temptation is to do as the Israelites did and hoard all the food. Because that's what they do in the story. And then they discover that it doesn't keep. We don't trust that God will provide our daily needs. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then we store a week's worth. And I'm not saying don't save, and I'm not saying don't do weekly grocery runs. And I'm not saying don't prepare for the future. Nor am I talking about how much bread you may or may not have in your freezer. But when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we are acknowledging that everything we have has been provided by God. If we take a different look at the prayer, suggesting that it deals with eternity, then we could ask the question, do I believe that God has made eternal provision for me because I have prayed this prayer? And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it is assumed that we are praying it with the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Give us this day our daily bread. And God desires to answer that prayer for each of us, for today, for tomorrow, for eternity. And God will answer it when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. After all, not all our daily bread is food. Jesus said that we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God knows that our daily bread involves feeding on His word, the bread of life. And God honors our prayers by giving us the daily bread of faith. And when we pray these words, we are submitting ourselves in total reliance to God. And that can be hard. It's hard to give up total control on our lives. And so if you're starting to think that there's more to the Lord's Prayer than you thought, and perhaps it's a little bit difficult, hold on to your pew, because we're going to take a look at the next petition. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is actually one of my favorite parts of the Lord's Prayer. Not for what it means, but for when you go to a church you've never been to before and you get debtors, trespasses, and sins from all the different people. Talking when you get it from people from different churches, it's always, as you wait for those who say the longer version. But as an aside, the passage from Matthew's Gospel this morning, though, it illustrates this passive petition from the Lord's Prayer rather well. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In this part, therefore, I think of the Lord's Prayer is the most difficult for us to accomplish for a number of reasons. First, let's look at that word debts, that we pray debts and debtors. And there's several other words that can be substituted for it, trespasses and sins. And depending on your church tradition or the church you grew up in, you are familiar with one version or another. So let's talk, therefore, broadly about this debts, trespasses, sins. Really, let's talk about sin. Because we've all done it. We've all sinned. I don't pretend to be without sin, and I don't imagine that any of you should either. And that's why we need to pray these words and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Because none of us are immune to doing wrong in the sight of a holy God. I think for most of us, when we think about this prayer, this is the hardest part of the Lord's Prayer to pray. Because what we're really saying here is, God, deal with me as I deal with other people. Our sins are those things we do wrong or fail to get right against God and others. Most items that we consider sins are perhaps covered, we might say, broadly by the Ten Commandments. Most of us do pretty well on that category. Our sins are those things we do that are outside of God's will. The Anglican Church, its general confession in the Book of Common Prayer, actually puts it rather well. It reads, "We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us." And that final phrase, "and there is no health in us," says how broken we are before God until we come clean and confess our sin before God. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer that we ask God to forgive us in the same way that we forgive others, well, there's a lot going on there. In our reading from Matthew, Jesus ends it by saying, "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Those are really tough words, considering what the sentence before it is, where the master has the servant put in jail and tortured for not forgiving another servant as he had been forgiven. Receiving forgiveness is important. Without it, we can feel tortured or haunted by memories. Worse still, we can be separated from the fullest, deepest fellowship with God. That is, we don't experience full fellowship with God, complete forgiveness, until we repent. And repentance is what is required with us, whether asking the forgiveness of God or asking the forgiveness of another. Think about it this way. If I stepped on your toe and I said sorry, but then I stepped on your toe again and said sorry, then I did it a third time and said sorry, and we're not dancing, right? I'm just, you know, how repentant am I? And how willing to forgive would you be? Real forgiveness comes about as a result of true repentance. Repentance literally means to turn around and walk the other way. It's a 180-degree change. And that's what turning away from sin is all about. Until we are ready to repent, we keep God from working in our lives as deeply as God could. But the prayer says that we will be forgiven as we forgive. Literally, that is, asks God to forgive us as we have forgiven the people who have messed up with us. In other words, we are asking God to forgive us in the same way, after the same manner, as we have already forgiven others. And that's where it really gets hard. Each of us has probably heard the phrase, "I don't get mad, I get even." So how does that look in light of the Lord's Prayer? The effort at forgiving is energy well spent. Because as we forgive, we open the door to allow others to come to us for reconciliation, which isn't always easy, but is always rewarding. To forgive is to cease to feel resentment against an offender. Because if you don't forgive, then you allow your enemy or the individual who has offended you to have power over you. And we don't like to believe that anyone except God has any real power over us. But if we hold a grudge against someone, whether we realize it or not, that person does hold power over us. We don't want to be in contact with that person. We don't want a confrontation, so we stay away from them. We stay away from what could otherwise be fun and interesting events, because that person might be there, because we want to avoid that person. Forgiveness does not concede defeat. The offender can still be wrong, and we can still forgive. Forgiveness is an act of spiritual maturity. Now, the Lord's Prayer doesn't say anything about the atonement for our sins, because at this point, the death of Christ hasn't occurred. Jesus isn't yet preparing his disciples for this. But only later then would the disciples realize that forgiveness from God was a free gift offered because Jesus does die on the cross and then rises again to give us new life. And all of this forgiveness is available to the children of God, disciples of Christ, who will likewise forgive others who wrong them. It can be difficult, but if we're willing to forgive them in turn, then we will be forgiven by God. And the debt we owe God is far greater than any debt someone else might owe us, because we owe God our very lives, because for our sake he gave his only son. And there's one more thing, and it's a little thing, but did you notice that this part of the Lord's Prayer starts with the little word "and"? And that links it to the previous statement, in which we ask God for daily bread. So when we think of our need for food, we should also think of our need to forgive and be forgiven. This morning we've tackled, I think, two of the toughest parts of the Lord's Prayer. And to be sure, there's more that could be said. But we recognize our dependence on God, on asking for forgiveness, as we should forgive. Two tough petitions found within the Lord's Prayer. And it's a hard prayer when you break it down and you really think about it. And it should make you think twice before praying it. As you pray the Lord's Prayer, then make sure that you're ready to carry out the actions that the words imply. It's a tough prayer. But with God's grace, it can come from our broken lips and our broken hearts and impact us daily as we walk in faith with God. Amen.